Let's get after it. It's a Friday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for the second day of December 2022. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And you're waking up to just a fairly calm day. It looks like ahead today, mostly cloudy, maybe a few sunny breaks, plus two the high. It was last Saturday we had like a 1 mile day. Remember, it was showers and, you know, relative to the rest of the weather, pretty warm. Same thing tomorrow. Kind of weird. Tomorrow, showers, windy, up to 8 degrees tomorrow for one day. And then Sunday will be actually a lot like today. Some sun, some clouds, and again, a high of plus two. Looked at the long-range temperature forecast. Sort of Wednesday, Thursday next week, I saw an overnight low of minus 17 and a high of minus 10. We haven't had one of those super cold days yet. Sounds like it's coming by the middle of next week. Just warning you. Wake up this morning, we're sitting at minus 3 as we say hello. Good morning. Happy Friday, happy weekend, happy Sens game day to Sean Simpson. How are you doing this morning, Simmer?
Excellent, Jer. And yeah, certainly felt that yesterday with the old temperatures driving around, super windy. And as I turned into my North Manitic state, amazing as we're on... I guess it's recyclable day or whatever it is, but there were cardboard boxes all over the place.
Oh, they were flying?
Oh, they really were. And the one area that is kind of face, well, it doesn't kind of, it face east, that entire fence was kind of a holding area for everybody, and I'm sure they'll all clean it up. But, yeah, windy and cold yesterday, but we'll take that forecast. And I assume, based on your long-term projection, when it's super cold like that, it has to be a Sens game day. Right? At the CTC.
Next Thursday. Yeah. No, actually, no? They're on the road next Thursday. Yeah, they're home on. They got LA on Tuesday, and then I think they go to, I don't remember where.
Start doing a little road trip there?
Okay. Yeah, they got about a three-game roadie. I want to say Nashville.
Yeah. Okay.
If possible, it's Nashville next Thursday.
Yeah, I think Pooley kind of pointed that out as well. You get into that segment of.
Three on the road, couple at home.
Yeah, you had the predictable schedule kind of coming up until about this point, and now. Really started tonight, as you said, first back-to-back of the season. So kind of excited. I'm solo at the house, just Echo the dog and myself.
What's going on? On the home front?
No. Oh, my God. I live in Utopia, Jared.
Okay.
I'll send you out a picture of the white tree. I was just looking at it last night. This is magnificent.
This is a fake white tree that you've already put up.
Oh, man. Yeah. And you know what we've decided to do? We're not going to put decorations on it. We're just going to put red roses in the tree. And so this is a little new thing that we've come up with. And I'm just like, I'm assuming I'll get a call from Mary Taggart and she'll want to have me in her magazine. But, you know, no, I'm not trying to promote it, but I'm just saying, like, it's so cutting edge. But Mira's at the hockey tournament in Jay Peak.
Jay Peak.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, hey, good thing to have a little Friday night ice hockey.
Yeah.
Got a little something to do. I'll work the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
So just keep me busy. Keep me focused, Jer.
Okay.
It's very important because I'm solo and I'm kind of looking around to Echo the dog. Like, what are we going to do here? I've run out of documentaries. Last night, I'm watching some Pepsi documentary.
Pepsi the drink?
Yeah. Have you heard about that documentary?
No.
Okay. Yeah. The guy had to get 7 million Pepsi points back in the 80s to win a Harrier jet. So it basically, I know. That's where I'm at in my life.
There was a documentary on that?
Well, there is.
There's enough to fill 90 minutes?
Oh, no. I think it's
an
even
hour?
No, I think it's even more than that.
It's episodic.
Yeah. There's episodes of it.
Oh.
And it's a bit of the rage right now. The Overnight Show was even talking about it. So. I've got Hammer on it.
It's a new one?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah,
it goes back to a contest that Pepsi had in the 80s where you collected Pepsi points. 80s or 90s?
Yeah. Okay.
And
it's full on 80s, Hammer.
Because
I think the big thing, and I'd totally forgotten, is the whole Cindy Crawford ad at the time.
Yes.
And I have to ask you, like, when is the last time you had a Pepsi? And I don't drink much Coca-Cola even. But, like, do you even think if you were ever going to order something that you'd order a Pepsi and not a Coca-Cola? Right?
I'm usually, if I'm going to side with one of the colas, it will be the Coca-Cola.
Well, absolutely. Like
the Pepsi.
Are you talking about a Coke versus Pepsi or just cola in general?
No, just, well, whatever.
But well, I'm just saying,
when we have Chinese food, we have a Coke.
Okay.
I don't know
it
is.
Like, no,
just
real
to
Coke?
Add to the sugar quote.
Well, no, the only time I drink Coca-Cola actually is if I order McDonald's. I'd like a little bit of it. But when I buy the kids drinks, those little mini drinks now, I get 6 Coca-Colas and 6 Sprite. I'd never think to get a Pepsi. Who's ever walked into a bar and said, hey, give me a Pepsi and rum?
That's true.
Rum and Pepsi.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. Actually, the odd time if you do go to a restaurant or whatever and somebody orders a Coke and then they say, is Pepsi okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's that tells you that they're the wrong brand, right? When you have to confirm with the person, or you could go with a very strong RC Cola.
RC. I thought you said RC.
No.
I was in an RC.
No. You must have been listening to that overnight show that Chris Holsky was talking about the pizza that had pizza.
Yeah.
You'll have an RC Coke with that.
Yeah, we don't need to go down that road.
No.
Anyway, okay, well, good luck with that, with your batching it weekend.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The Jay Peak, that's...
Well, he's not a full-on bachelor. He does have Echo.
It's true.
Yeah.
He's got some company.
Yeah. Side saddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jay Peak one is, that's a big one because there's a big water, an indoor water park.
Yeah.
So that's always a very popular hockey tournament.
Yeah, I think they've been before. I have never gone, and also nice now.
So both the boys are going?
Yeah. They've all gone. The aunt ended up going, which is interesting because she doesn't speak English and she's from Syria.
Yep.
It's her first trip to the United States. So I asked her, when's the last time you're in the U.S.? She's like, I've never been there.
Wow.
And she's in her 60s. I said, well, got to be honest with you. Donald Trump is going to be at Jay Peak, so you have a chance to meet him. And she kind of laughed. And then she actually mentioned, I like Donald Trump and I don't like Joe Biden, which I thought when you're dealing with Mr. Assad in Syria, I'm kind of surprised on that. So,
okay.
That was our conversation on politics.
And that's where it ended.
Exactly.
And then they got in the car and they left.
They did.
It's
exactly.
All good. All right. Well, it'll be an interesting weekend ahead. As we said, as you said, the Sens are playing back to back for the first time this season. Game tonight, game tomorrow night at home to San Jose. Yeah. And we'll see if they can rebound from the loss against the Rangers. A very kind of a ho-hum drab affair from Wednesday night.
Yeah, excited to see Erik Karlsson as well. Also, I saw you really bringing it against Canada's soccer team, JR. Are you looking at this?
Bring as, anything.
Are you slicing them up?
Well, he's just saying it was not a very good tournament, which I don't disagree. I was just kind of, it's interesting as Canadians that we're not really in that mode yet. And I feel like a lot of people media-wise in comparison to Europe, just happy to be there seems to be what a lot of people are kind of feeling versus really looking at this practically and saying, hey, that was not a very good showing.
We got outscored 7-2.
Yeah.
We didn't win a game.
Yeah. And we scored two goals.
Technically, we only scored one of them.
We were in a tough pool. And like, I cannot believe how quickly people were moonwalking the whole thought of this of Canada at the World Cup. It's like all the soccer experts were coming at me last night on social media. You're out of your depth on this one. Oh, we were a huge underdog and all this.
Did you get a stick to hockey?
Oh, of course. Where were you before this tournament began when everybody apparently had zero expectations for Canada?
Yeah.
Come on. Give me a break.
I can't believe I missed this.
And you can't go at a good Dutchman and not say that, hey, that guy doesn't know soccer. And also, and I think Yorkie has referenced many times, did you end up bringing up any of your soccer photos from your coaching days?
The high socks.
The high socks.
And 1 year I coached Yorkie's daughter.
Was that what it was?
I had the high socks going.
That's awesome.
That wasn't awesome, actually. Yeah. And of all the people, you'd never want that to happen.
Oh, exactly.
Yorkie, takes a picture of everything, and Jason York, and takes unflattering pictures of everyone and keeps them.
Okay.
And he is willing to unleash them at any moment. Oh.
Hopefully he's listening in because I have not seen it, and I'd actually kind of enjoy seeing the big man with the high socks going.
Well, that's now that was our oldest daughters who would now be into their close to mid 20s.
Yeah.
So this would be 20 years ago.
Oh,
actually.
Wow.
They would have been five or six. Oh.
Were they high socks and high shorts? Did you have the combo?
I think I had the Adidas shorts. So they weren't the high end, like old NBA players shorts, but not the long, obviously not the long ones.
And they didn't have the cut up the side when you flexed your legs? Because I'm actually thinking now of the Dutch soccer players in the 70s, JR, right? That all had
the
scoring duo that they had.
Johan Cruyff.
Is that what it was?
Clockwork Orange.
Oh, nice.
Anyway. All right. Anyway, we'll get into the soccer stuff. In fact, do we have AJ confirmed?
We've got AJ. Now, I have texted him just to make sure that, hey, 6:45, we're
our time.
Green lit, ready to go. Our time, yes. I was
12:45, which should be, you know, very practical to
talk to somebody. I thought there were 8 hours ahead of us.
So is that far? Oh, yeah, 2:45. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So that was about a half hour ago.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
I have not heard confirmation that, yep, I'm good to go.
Okay. All right. Well, he joined us.
We had confirmation, yes.
Last week we had him on at 6:45. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's in the plan. AJ Jakubek from Qatar, where he continues his World Cup odyssey, will join us in about a half hour or so from now. Dave Poulin is our TSN Hockey Insider. He will join us coming up after 8 o'clock. And after 9, we're going to connect with Christian Veau, who is now going to be a former quarterback at Penn State University. He's from Ottawa, went to prep school down in the States, got a scholarship to Penn State, and has made the decision, we'll find out from Christian directly, to move on from the program and cast his career elsewhere in the NCAA. So there's an interesting story there. We'll talk to him coming up after 9 o'clock. So we got lots to get to on this Friday. We'll come back, go through a busy night in the NHL, and set you up for Sens and Rangers when we return on this Friday morning. We're glad you're with us. Weekends ahead on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. 6:25 on this Sens Game Day Friday. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. We got the Sens and Rangers for you from MSG. 5 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff, and then Ottawa's back home as this is the first back-to-back for Ottawa this season tomorrow night against the San Jose Sharks. Simmer, you got to remind you that one of your favorite people celebrating a birthday today, 39. Aaron Rodgers. You're a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Bo Jackson also 60 today, or maybe that's a day late. But yeah, old Aaron Rodgers. That's interesting.
shares a birthday with Britney. Britney Spears.
Oh, Britney Spears,
41 today.
Wow, okay.
Monica Seles, tennis Hall of Famer, 49. Nelly Furtado. Remember Nelly Furtado?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
44
years. Was Monica Seles, she was a grunter, right?
Yes.
Was she also the one that was stabbed? Or?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, no, that was, yeah, very, very talented. But I think she was the first of the grunters, at least, if I recall. That was the first time we kind of picked that up on TV, and we're kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to really get through this. And then I think everybody started grunting after that.
And was it Nelly Furtado? Was the last time we saw her at the NBA All-Star Game? With a very original rendition of O Canada.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Is that an All-Star game or something?
I think so, yeah. And we really haven't seen her since.
Yeah, she's I'm Like a Bird.
Oh. That's right.
I'm Like
a Bird. Oh, yeah, that's a classic tune right there. Yeah.
Maybe we'll bring that out in her honor, and maybe we'll find that rendition, that very – you said that, and there's a little something there, but I don't remember anything about it.
I think she had one. I might be mixing it up with Fergie, who I think also had a bad anthem at an NBA All-Star or Skills Comp. But I'm almost positive that Nelly Furtado.
Now I feel like we're going to have to bring out the Carl Lewis then. Maybe the worst of all time.
We got standards. Roseanne would be up there as well.
Oh, yeah.
That was more the visual, her spitting afterwards.
Yeah, I was going to say. And then you get into the Canadian tenors that were one tenor less after what that was the NBA.
He changed the words on the
floor. Yeah,
that was baseball All-Star game.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he was exited from the group.
Yes. And where are they?
Yeah.
Good question. All right, 6:28. It's also a Friday, a wrench throwing Friday. So anything in the world of sports, the world in general, that has bothered you the last 7 days, let's toss a wrench at it. Feel good going into the weekend. I'll start with the at my favorite left turn lane this morning. It's maybe a small thing for me.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you're in a lane that's either a straight through or a left turn lane, like there's two lanes, right? And the lane to the left can be a turn lane or can be a straight through. It's not defined. All right. Can you not come to a stop and sit there and then, as the light is getting ready to change to green, decide you're going to put on your blinker that point?
That's bad.
Because I would have chosen the other lane, because now that you're sitting there, the traffic that's coming the other way, I would have chosen the other lane to go by you and then be able to get to the next light, which would allow me to turn into the Byward Market in a fashion that would allow me to get to work quicker.
Are you talking about, I know Hammer has to throw the wrench here, but are you talking about the light right across from the auto emission?
Correct.
Yeah, people do that all the time. And I also want to know.
That's a daily, I believe.
And I know we got to get Suddy on the horn. I know he's got a lot going on. I don't understand why that light's ever red in the morning. Nobody is coming from the other direction on a one-way, right? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Have you ever seen a car come the other way?
Maybe once in the 20 years I've been driving down
here. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. And it seems to be as long as it's as long on green going that way where no one ever turns as it is for people going straight. The majority, the 99.9. Anyway, to my wrench, please.
Oh, they got that boy Mbappe.
There you go. All right, so there's your template for Wrench Throwing Friday. You can text them to us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200 for your wrenches throughout the morning. All right, we mentioned Sens game day. Let's go through a busy night in the NHL last night. We'll start in Calgary, where the Montreal Canadiens began a Western trip. Always amazed, but not so. How many, and same thing when the Leafs are out there, how many Habs fans and how many Leaf fans are there and how loud and proud they are when their team goes out for their one visit there. There were a lot of Montreal fans in the stands last night, and they got what they were looking for.
Monahan has Doc in front. He goes to Suzuki. Suzuki. Caulfield score! Cole Caulfield grips and rips back of the net. And in his 100th NHL game, he makes a statement.
And that is the game winner. Montreal beats Calgary 2-1. 45 saves from Jake Allen, who had been pretty mediocre pretty much the entire season. He had an outstanding night, though, last night as the Habs were widely outshot, but got the good goaltending and got the big goal there from Cole Caulfield. And by the way, Sean Monahan's first game back in Calgary since he was traded in the offseason. He assisted on both the Montreal goals.
Yeah, and good for him, Jer, that return, and had a very good career in Calgary. And as far as the Calgary Flames, and I love Jacob Markstrom's comment yesterday, I suck at ice hockey right now. So I could appreciate that, and I appreciate the honesty. And I guess you kind of look at it glass half full if you're a Calgary fan, is that they are 500. They have played well without the great goaltending, and you know he'll turn around. Where maybe North with Mr. Jack Campbell, maybe as an Oilers fan, you're not quite feeling that as far as team defense and goaltending, but I think from the Calgary side, you realize that, hey, this guy at some point is still a very good goaltender, and when he comes into form, that would be a team I would suspect could run off a few Ws.
Yeah, it's 20 games in, though. I don't know. I don't know what it is with goaltenders. Is a very it's a hard thing to predict.
But I'd rather see that to start the first 20, JR, versus the last 20 or into a playoff.
Except that's the way he ended the playoffs last year against Edmonton. Okay. He sucked at hockey against Edmonton,
that's too. That's a good point. Good point.
So is that now a template of future Jacob Markstrom? That wouldn't be good.
No.
If you're the Calgary Flames, who are all in to try to win in the next couple of years. Otherwise, with the contracts they've given out lately, that is going to get pretty ugly. So Montreal wins. They're in Edmonton, by the way. Tomorrow night. Meanwhile, let's go to Dallas. Normally wouldn't go Dallas Ducks, but this guy's going crazy.
Jason Robertson is on the right side. The puck goes there. He's got two tonight. Hand off for Haskinen, and Robertson gets it back. Shot! Score! And here come the Hats. Third career hat trick for Jason Robertson. 4-0 Dallas.
5-0 final. Dallas beat Anaheim, but the story there is Jason Robertson, who continues to fill the net. He's got 22 goals now this year, which leads the NHL, three more than Connor McDavid. He's second in NHL scoring with 39 points. And again, as we talked about the other day, he sat out all of training camp in a contract impasse with Dallas before signing just before the season began. And he stepped right in, and he's absolutely filling it up for the Stars.
Yeah, and interesting with that, it was his brother, obviously drafted by the Leafs, Jer. They got so much talk, and you also look at that, and there's some very good parts around him. But generally, when you look at scoring like this, not only goal scoring, but the point totals at 39, you usually think there's another guy on the team, and the next closest guy is at 26, somewhat reminiscent of Taylor Hall when he's with New Jersey, right? Where, and again, Dallas, a better team, but what he's doing is absolutely incredible. And it does kind of bring up, and it's a great discussion of, when you give out these eight-year contracts versus bridge deals, I know a lot of people say, well, if you give a bridge deal, you're going to pay down the road. But I also do think, and it comes to, you know, human behavior, it is also a great motivator for an athlete, right? And it's just really neat to see him follow up on a season last year, come back right in, and just taking it to another level. And not to mention the Dallas Stars, some great hockey that they've been playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Dallas is, I did not have them on my radar. I probably should have, because I'm actually a big fan of Pete DeBoer as a coach, even though it did not go, ended up going that well for him in Vegas. Mm-hmm. He's gone into Dallas, and yeah, the Stars are playing great hockey right now. So.
Yeah, him and his brother, and I have no idea where it is, but Arcadia, California, which is also a real cool aspect. And I know some people have talked about, I brought up, hey, the fact of where is soccer in Canada going to go? And people are like, well, in other countries, they live and breathe. I'm like, okay, I appreciate that.
Right.
But the United States, not to mention the Hart Trophy winner last year being born in Arizona, and he got a kid from California there. It can come from all corners of the planet these days when it comes to sports.
Absolutely. All right. It was also a big day and a big game for Steven Stamkos.
Alex Killorn cycles it back for Steven Stamkos. Stamkos to Cole, out in front, they score! Nick Paul with the goal, and Steven Stamkos has done it! For the first time in the history of the Tampa Bay Lightning, 1,000 points!
There you go, Steven Stamkos hits the 1,000 career point mark, and I shouldn't say fittingly, because... Fittingly, Nick Paul scored the goal. Only people in Ottawa would be interested that Nick Paul scored the goal that Stamkos assisted on for his 1,000th career point. And while there aren't a lot of things that Ottawa and Tampa, who came into the NHL together in 1992, there's not many things that Ottawa is ahead of in terms of, right, Tampa's got the 3 Stanley Cups, Ottawa doesn't have any. At least we got a guy that got to 1,000 points before Tampa did.
Yeah.
So take that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you think about LeCavalier, Richards, and St. Louis. Interesting when I heard that, Jer. I would have been a bit surprised that one of those guys had not reached that. And you're right. And then the other story as well, Mr. Paul, now 18 points, 11 goals. And what was initially, I think we all agreed, a very good trade in bringing in Mr. Joseph or Mr. Paul has gone completely the other direction. And now I know people say, well, look at the term. Hey, Nick Paul wasn't looking for a 7-year deal. I know that actually talking to him. I won't go too deep in detail, but right now that's been a very one-sided trade. I think Joseph has been very disappointing for Ottawa.
He has been, he's been underwhelming this year. They scratched him, was that last week when you were away? They scratched him for a game.
Yeah, I saw that on the West Coast road
trip.
He
came back and played a couple of effective games, and I'm going to see kind of where it goes, but up until that point, agree that it has not been a great... He's among many Ottawa Senators that have been less than desired so far.
Yeah,
so.
And the problem with him, JR, is that, again, I think the work ethic is there. I don't know if it was the fact that he played higher up in the lineup last year, but he is not a player that it comes very natural, the game. And it's also interesting, generally, and I use that term with hockey sense or hockey IQ, it's also strange that a guy would be playing his offside because, you know, my kind of theme was guys that struggle a little bit with that, you would never have them play their offside. And that makes me worry big picture. People say, well, he's off to a slow start. I'm like, well, no, he's not really. That's what he is. You know, the time he played here in Ottawa, that's not really where his career is at. I mean, this guy is a 25 to 30 point player. And right now has not been very effective for the Ottawa Senators.
One other game or one other incident of note last night happened out in Vancouver where the Florida Panthers were continuing their road trip. They beat the Canucks 5-1, scoring 3 goals in less than a minute in the first period. And here is the turning point.
Find out more at chromakai.ca. Stamkos makes another save. Here's a rebound for Hornquist. And then Lomberg jams it in on the third opportunity. Demko's down and in obvious pain in the Canucks crease as the Panthers celebrate, and Ryan Lomberg makes it 3-0, and they're going to have to get the training staff out to attend to the Vancouver goaltender.
Yeah, Thatcher Demko injured in that third goal that happened in quick succession late in the first period. He left the game. There was no update afterward, if there often isn't, but that was one of those ones where he made a big stretch to the right with the pad, big stretch to the left with the pad, and then third rebound was deposited past him, you could see he had no push left. So that has knee, groin, something not very good, especially for a goalie, written all over it.
Yeah, and it also, I think, is once again heated up the talk about whether or not they're going to make a coaching change, which I think we felt a month ago that something was going to happen. So. Looked like for a little bit that Vancouver turned the corner, but not looking good last night. And I'll say for Demko, I think a lot of us had him coming into the year as kind of one of those top 5, top 10 goaltenders. And that's been another team that he has just not been very good for Vancouver.
Struggling.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. So there you go. 5-1 the final there. By the way, Minnesota beat Edmonton 5-3. The other Canadian team that played last night, 3-point night for Kirill Kaprizov.
So and as far as Jack Campbell, JR, that has been, and he kind of wondered when this happened.
Another goalie not playing.
But just a struggle, you know, and you think about, you say enough for years with the goalie graveyard. I looked at Philly. We've talked about Ottawa. Well, I'll put Edmonton at the top of that list. And for a guy just starting out on a 5-year deal, he is not playing good. And knowing the pressure that he puts on himself, it's going to take a lot for him to dig himself out of this hole. And hey, they're not very good defensively, team defense, but his numbers are atrocious.
They are, at least Stuart Skinner, though. Yeah, the other goalie in Edmonton has been great this year. A lot of, you know, reading a couple articles yesterday about, hey, at the quarter poll, who've been the best rookies? And he's on the list, kind of considered to be top 10. So he's been really good. So that has saved them because Campbell has not been very good.
And going back to Vancouver, I found it interesting because I was tracking some websites yesterday, and it was rookie scoring, which technically Kuzmenko is a rookie, but he is not eligible for the Calder Trophy. Otherwise, I think it would be a...
Because
of age, you know.
He's over 26?
Well, again, what I put out yesterday, I asked, and somebody said he's 5 days too old, Jer.
Oh, really?
But he does not appear on the NHL website. And to that, it's kind of Matty Beniers and then everybody else now, right? He's kind of the runaway, where if Kuzmenko, I guess we get back to a little bit of the Kaprizov debate when it comes to that. But no, he is not eligible.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Beniers, by the way, continues to add to the headlines. This is what... especially with rookies where, you know, you get a lot of voters around the NHL that they're rookies. So a lot of people don't know necessarily everybody that, you know, you got to make the headlines, right? And he gets the overtime winner 7 seconds into OT last night as Seattle beat Washington. So there you go.
Yeah, and I do think the profile, Jer, when it comes to that, I do think in this case, for all the excitement that was with the kids at Michigan, I do think his profile, it's interesting. And I'll say that with Mason McTavish on the World Junior, you know, some of these profiles do get elevated a little bit more, and I'm not going to go back to the Fab Five in basketball, but I think there's a lot of Americans out there and a lot of people that were pretty familiar with Beniers and Powers and that whole crew at Michigan last year.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where Adam Fantilli is this year.
Yeah.
And he is, everybody's talking about Connor Bedard, and rightfully so, but everybody else is saying, man, if Fantilli is the consolation prize, that's a really good consolation prize. 6'3" center that can skate like the wind and fill the net. So
when will we start our draft?
Well, we kind of started last week when you were away.
Okay.
Yeah, well, a little bit. And then told ourselves, no, it's too early.
World Junior is usually in the past when we start to kick off some of the familiarity if you're going to be picking pretty high.
Here we are. All right, a couple of wrenches. AJ's going to go. Are we going? Yeah, okay. All right, a couple of wrenches before we go to break, and we're going to bring in AJ from Qatar.
Nice.
Speaking of which, here we go. Tom in the Market writes, wrench to Canadian soccer. We were the worst team along with Qatar. Don't say, but in 4 years. That's from Tom.
And we're going to go and F Croatia.
Joel writes, a ginormous wrench to the fact that at least one person in my family has been sick since October. That's from Joel.
Double doink!
He missed it!
Double doink!
Double doink!
My wife has a wicked cold going on right now. All right. Triple D writes, a wrench to the Washington Capitals. I put a decent amount of shekels on them to win. They scored 2 in the first and couldn't hold on and lost in overtime. That's from Triple D.
I want to thank Commissioner Gary Batman.
Oh, can you bet against a team, though, that's won 6 games in a row? That's really on you, Triple D, honestly.
Yeah, it actually is, and I don't feel like the Caps are a team other than Ovi. I'd be betting anything on. And when we had the Gary Batman presser from Arizona the other days, I started thinking about when they opened up the books for the Ottawa Senators. I was picturing the Batman kind of at a poker table, JR, just sitting there dealing out the cards to prospective owners on what kind of cost it's going to be for the Ottawa Senators, what kind of dough they're going to end up getting from the league at this point.
Absolutely. Jeff with 1F says, a wrench to all the inconsiderate drivers who do not give the thank you wave after being led into a lane. That's from Jeff.
My balls was hot.
Thank you, Jeff. That is, you know what? Yeah, I like that. That little where you just put your hand up and say, hey,
I always give that one. Because I'm terrible at merging into lanes. Like, I don't have very good peripheral vision. So anytime anybody lets me in, even with my sensors, I always give them the big, hey, thanks very much.
Yeah,
buddy.
like summer, if your windows roll down, like little hand out the window.
Absolutely.
There. Absolutely. Or if it's the winter, right in front of the rearview mirror, just a little hand up saying, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. All right, keep the wrenches coming. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN 1200. Again, Sens and Rangers tonight at 7. We'll set up the game throughout the morning and include a visit with Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider, coming up just after 8 o'clock. Coming up next, though, we're going to go overseas to Doha, Qatar, where we'll find our good friend AJ Jakubek. Over at the World Cup, where Canada has crashed out with 3 losses in 3 games. We'll get his thoughts on that and life at the World Cup. We'll do that when we return on this Friday morning on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Yeah, all that was missing from that play-by-play, I mean, we got to have a howler. And
that is
the howler of howlers from sweatpants.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that got things off on a very bad foot for Canada about 4 minutes into the match yesterday against Morocco. down 1-0 on a total giveaway. Empty onion bag for Morocco to go up. They got another one shortly thereafter. And, hey, it doesn't matter the opposition. Coming back from 2-0 down is hard. Canada got one. 2-1 is the final. They crash out of the World Cup at 0-3. And they're going home. And meanwhile, the last of the group stage games will happen today. And then tomorrow we begin the knockout stage.
Yeah, and probably the last time we'll see Sweatpants. Or do you think in 4 years he's not going to be around, is he?
I think the Tendies can play a little bit later
in
life.
True.
Mr. Buffon played until he was 40 at the World Cup level. But anyway, let's ask our next guest that on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Mr. Jack Ubeck is over in Qatar this morning or this afternoon where you are. How you doing, AJ?
Outstanding, guys. Yeah, just back at her. Two more games today. Just heading out for Portugal-South Korea right now, and then the late game for me, Serbia-Switzerland. So when I get to see the Swiss tonight, that'll be all 32 that I've seen in the tournament.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's great. All right, we'll talk about your life over in Qatar and how that's all been going in a little bit. But let's start with your thoughts. You went to all three of the Canadian matches, three losses, all in different ways. As you kind of wrap up your thoughts on Canada at the World Cup, what are you left with?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call the team a disappointment, but I would call what happened disappointing. I think it's fair to feel disappointment after what could have been, because I think Canada showed really good flashes at times in this tournament, but weren't able to put it all together. I think they put together 90 fantastic minutes against Belgium, deserved a better fate. They didn't get it. Then, you know, scored the first goal against Croatia, and historic goal for Canada, but, you know, kind of got overrun in midfield, got their tactics wrong, in my opinion, and paid for it against, to be fair, a really good Croatian side that I think has a really good chance of going deep into the tournament. And then, you know, last night's game, I can't really describe. Like, I've been to over 40 games in Europe. I've been to games in South America. I've seen Canada play in the Azteca Stadium in El Salvador, and that hostile atmosphere last night, I think it got to them early. I think that probably explains a little bit of the slow start. Now, a guy like Milan Borjan, who's played Champions League football, I mean, the Belgrade derby between Red Star and Partizan, and he plays for Red Star, is as passionate as any derby on the planet. So he should be used to that type of environment. But I thought they looked rattled early on. And, you know, I'll give them a lot of credit for the way they played in the last 60 minutes, because I thought they really battled. They deserve something towards the end. But when you make mistakes like that at this level, they're going to cost you. So, yeah, I don't think Canada is the 31st best team in this tournament. It's funny. I mean, we were hanging out with Australians before their game, and they're saying, I don't know how we're progressing and you're not. You guys are way better than us. That's kind of how it feels to a certain extent. I mean, when we go around and talk to different people who've been watching this tournament, they've been impressed with Canada, but little mistakes become big mistakes at this level. And in the end, combined with what I think has been top to bottom a pretty difficult group, you know, lessons learned for 2026 and a lot to build on.
AJ, thoughts on Herdman as far as lineups and tactical approach?
Yeah, you can't fault him for the first game for sure. And look, I'm a big John Herdman supporter. I think he did a fantastic job in getting this team to buy into a team concept, to buy into kind of we're all in this together, you know, not just as a group, but as an entire country. And so fantastic job through qualification and certainly before that. And I think he got things right the first game, just a little bit unlucky, but probably a little too much hubris on two accounts. Both in terms of his comments to the media, I don't know if that made a difference to the Croatian players or not, but you didn't need to poke the bear. And just in terms of the way they played, I think to line up that game with two in midfield and four attackers when you're up against, you know, maybe if not the best, still one of the best midfields on the planet, I think was a big, big mistake. And that was probably a little too much hubris from my standpoint. I didn't love his starting 11. Now, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say you want Jonathan David in the starting lineup. Well, the guy's been playing week after week for Lille. And so you don't know exactly what type of fitness he had, and he was great off the bench yesterday. That was clearly his best game. But I would have liked Kone to start yesterday. You know, it seemed like Davies was playing in a new position every 10 minutes. You look at Ziyech and Hakimi, who are both fullbacks. Look, you know, if your best player is a fullback, it's not ideal, right? You'd like him to be a striker or a central midfielder, somewhere kind of spine of the field, but it's not like Morocco was playing Ziyech and Hakimi out of position, right? They're playing in their main positions. They were outstanding yesterday. So, yeah, there's some things to pick at. I'd like to see Herdman continue on. Look, if Carlo Ancelotti, who's one of the best coaches in the history of this sport and lives in Vancouver in the offseason, he's won every league title in Europe in the major leagues. He's won multiple Champions Leagues. He's coaching Real Madrid. If Carlo Ancelotti comes calling and says, hey, I want to coach Canada in 2026, then I think you have to take that call. But beyond that, I'd like to see Herdman given the opportunity. There's going to be three major tournaments between now and the World Cup, two Gold Cups in 23 and 25. And it looks like Canada's probably going to be a part of an expanded Copa America in 2024. So there's going to be opportunities for him to show a little bit better. It's been a learning experience for him. So, you know, all things being equal, I think I'd like to see him continue on. But, again, there's probably with the talent that Canada has and the fact that they've already got a spot in the World Cup in 2026, if there are some struggles in the next couple of years, then maybe that call goes out to Carlo Ancelotti to see if he truly does want to manage his second home.
With AJ Jakubek, who's in Qatar, as an overall, I agree with much of what you said. How many of the players that the frontline players, or even those that came off the bench at this World Cup, do you believe will be a part of the Canadian roster in 2026? Are we talking a majority of the players, a minority, a handful? What is that number? Because I want to kind of work that into, you know, everybody talks about, yeah, we didn't get a win, but boy, our guys got experience, and I don't know. Like, how many of those players are realistically going to be back in 4 years?
Well, the majority of the best ones are going to be back. I think that's the key, right? Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, Tejon Buchanan, Stefan Ehiuostakiou, and I haven't brought up Ehiuostakiou yet. His brother Mauro played for the Fury for 3 years, and, you know, great family. You know, Davies might be our best player, but our most important player is Stefan Ehiuostakiou, who's been in fantastic form at FC Porto in Portugal. They won their group in the Champions League, so they're in the round of 16, and he's been one of their best players and has been in fantastic form. And I think, you know, when you think of what could have been different, you think of, you know, if Ehiuostakiou is healthy, because if he's playing 270 minutes, I think we're talking a bit of a different story. But, you know, that's the way it goes, right? There's other teams that have dealt with injuries, and Canada just doesn't have at this stage the same type of depth, even the same type of depth that a country like Morocco has. So I think, look, when you look up top and you look at Jonathan David, Alphonso Davies, and Tejon Buchanan, who really impressed, he really opened a lot of eyes for those that haven't seen him play, and he's also in the round of 16 when it comes to the Champions League with FC Bruges in Belgium. So with those players back, with Ehiuostakiou, with Ismail Kone, who's going to make a big move to Europe for sure after this competition, you've got a pretty good spine. I think the defense, and this is the area where, you know, I was most concerned going into qualification. Was Canada's defense good enough to get us to the World Cup? And in the end, they ended up having, I think, kind of the, you know, the sum was greater than the parts. And the fact that CONCACAF doesn't really have a lot of really, really dangerous attacking players, you know, they have the best defensive record in CONCACAF. But I think that masked some of the issues, and we saw those issues against better players and better teams, and they got punished for it. So that's where Canada certainly needs to develop some more players. Alistair Johnston's going to Celtic. That's a great move for him. Kamal Miller, I think, showed pretty well in this tournament for the most part, and would love to see him make a move from CF Montreal to Europe as well. So I do think there's a real good base here. But one of the exciting things is, I mean, 4 years ago, we had four professional teams in this country. There were three in MLS and Ottawa Fury. Now you've got 11. And so if some of those MLS players like Johnston, like Kone, like Kamal Miller end up going to Europe, well, the backfill is going to be okay. Some of the Canadian Premier League players are going to then take their spots in Major League Soccer, and then, you know, that's how the pyramid goes, right? Like a guy like Balu Tabla, who was outstanding for Atletico Ottawa this past year. Like, no doubt he's going to make a move, whether it's to Europe, whether it's to Liga MX in Mexico, whether it's to Major League Soccer. And, you know, maybe in 4 years, he's a guy that we're talking about as well, because he was highly touted a few years ago. Didier Drogba was trying to get him to play for Ivory Coast, ended up choosing Canada, went to Barcelona, didn't work out in MLS, but he's still 23 years old, and he was one of the best players in the Canadian Premier League this past season. So I do think the base of talent is going to grow, and, you know, we should be able to see probably half of this roster return in 4 years, but the other half of the roster is going to have a lot more experience than what we have in the bottom half this time around.
All right, last one for you. How's life in Qatar? Like, I know you love soccer. I know you love going to all the games and everything, but you've been there for, what, 2 weeks now or thereabouts? I mean, have you had your fill, or like, okay, bring it on, I'm ready for more, or what?
There are days. So Ben McCoy, there's four of us that came, and we met up with two others that we didn't know. So we ended up having a three-bedroom apartment for six of us. Now, Ben has gone home, and another of the guys has gone home. We just ended up switching from our three-bedroom to a two-bedroom. But yeah, it's one of those things. Like, within the last couple of days, there were times I was telling Ben, I'm like, I kind of wish I was going home with you. But then one of the things that's happened is, like, after some of the disappointments for Canada, for example, the loss that eliminated them against Croatia, the next day we got up, we ended up going to three games that day, and two of them were the African games, Serbia-Cameroon, which ended 3-3, and then Ghana-South Korea, which for me has been the best game of this tournament, and Ghana won that 3-2, and all of a sudden you're like, man, this is amazing. And that's exactly how last night felt. The disappointment of not getting a point, the disappointment of losing again to Morocco. We ended up going to Japan-Spain last night, and immediately you become energized, right? We're sitting with a bunch of Japanese fans and feeling their energy, and to see history made by them and another upset, it just energizes you. So, yeah, I've got 9 games left, 2 today, 5 in the round of 16 and 2 quarterfinals. And, you know, there are days, like, I've done a lot of traveling, as you guys know, and, you know, once you get weeks into a trip, there are days where you think, geez, I might want to go home. And then there's days where, like, I'm standing outside the metro station right now, it's about 28 degrees, and I'm thinking, I'm going to 9 World Cup games here in the next week or so, and there's what? I don't know how much snow is on the ground, but probably a lot more than here, so, no, I'm going to make the most of it here. Certainly miss my girlfriend and, you know, miss some certain things about home, but, yeah, no, it's been a pretty amazing trip. The pros have definitely outweighed the cons, and looking forward to what this last week is going to bring.
Well, JR is here to dig out your car when you arrived, and with only 3 bedrooms and 3 beds, have you found a regular snuggle partner? Was Ben your spoon guy, or what was going on here?
So here's the deal. So we had our last place, like I said, we had 3 bedrooms, and it was 2 double beds, and then one with 2 single beds. So the two guys that we didn't know, we said, okay, you guys can have the room with the 2 singles. So I was rooming with Tyler McDonald. And poor Tyler, last night, basically middle of the night, I grabbed one of his pillows subconsciously, thinking that, oh, it was just an extra pillow hanging there.
Oh, that's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles right there.
Yeah, and he's like, what the bleep are you doing here? So, needless to say, I'm actually rooming with the other new guy, Reza, from Calgary, and they're in the double bed. So Tyler gets a break from me now, and I've got my own single bed the last few days here.
I want, just because it's a long-distance line here, you said you grabbed one of his toes. Toes is what you said?
Pillows.
Pillows. Okay, all right. Okay, good. All right, I didn't think I heard that right. Okay, all right.
Yeah, no. We each have 2 pillows, and I'm used to sleeping in a bed with four pillows, and it's just me. And sometimes I just reach over in the middle of the night. I want another pillow.
Those aren't pillows. All right. We'll leave it there because you got a busy day ahead of you today with more games ahead. Sounds like you're having a great trip. So enjoy the rest of it, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again down the road.
By the way, they're trying to get me to if you watch any Japan games for going forward, and they'll be playing Croatia, obviously, in the round of 16. They're trying to get me to tell the story. So one last story here. So we were sitting at, like, probably 5 feet away from a guy who was whistling the entire game, the second game against Costa Rica. And you had some fans in our section that were really mad at this guy, but a lot of people were standing up for him. And by halftime, people were starting to get pictures taken with him. So guy's a bit of a kind of local legend here. So we're at the game yesterday, and I swear, like, he was probably 10 sections away, and you could hear this guy loud and clear and the whistling. So if you're listening to Japan, yeah, and you hear the other team with the ball and you hear some guy whistling nonstop, that's the guy.
That's your buddy.
A local legend. Yeah, and we're having a pretty good laugh about that one. A lot of good laughs here for sure. It's been a great trip. Yeah.
That's the Japanese Roger Whittaker. I mean, that should be applauded, AJ.
All right, good stuff. All right, enjoy the games, my friend.
Okay, thanks, guys. Cheers.
There's AJ Jakubek on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, long distance from Doha.
Yeah,
Gabriel
yeah.
Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, and just absolutely love his adventure. And certainly in a previous life, JR, I traveled a ton and just really love all the pitchers and the ability to. And I'll tell you what, man, he's got all the soccer lingo right down, too.
Oh, yeah,
eh?
He's
got it all. And just even knowing the background of the Canadian players and the familiarity of being there. It's almost like a scouting trip. So, yeah, that's some great work and good for him. Like I say, what a great life experience.
All right, we'll have more soccer for you coming up today. And tomorrow we got the first of the knockout round games, including Netherlands-US, kicking it all off at 10 a.m. Tomorrow. All right, we'll take a break. We're well past our 7 o'clock top-of-the-hour news and sports update. We'll do that and come back with hour two, set you up for a Sens game day. They got the Rangers tonight from MSG. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.